Ladies and gentlemen, sit back and get comfortable. But not too comfortable! It's the WCHL Podcast with WCHL Commissioner Christopher Perry and Andrew Majorkirk.
Yeah, it's that time of the week again. This is the WCHL Podcast, and I am the Commissioner Christopher Perry on the other end of the line. It's my very best friend in the entire world. Holy smokes, he sounds like he's moving around in a box. Maybe he's still stuck in the closet. That is my good friend, Andrew Majorkirk. Andrew, say hello to the people.
Yo, yo, yo.
Andrew, knock three times if we need to send somebody over to rescue you. Are you like stuck in a cardboard box? It sounded like you were shuffling around there.
I am here. I am there. I'm a little bit of everywhere.
You're everywhere. You're like Roy Kent.
Oh, I am. I'm like Roy Kent. I'm everywhere.
Oh boy. Andrew, before we get going into some hockey talk, let's follow up on last week. How did the birthday weekend celebration go?
You know what? It went pretty well, I think. It went pretty well.
Yeah, well, who cares what you think? For sure. How did she think?
She had fun. She had fun with all her little friends at the hotel.
Yeah.
They chased boys and partied and danced and you name it and had fun at the hotel, swam.
And that was wife, huh?
That was just my wife. That's right.
So she had she had a good time. The police were only called once or twice.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't have to get the police involved. So yeah, it turned out way better than they could have. Right.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Well, hey, congratulations. Congratulations. And you had a wonderful night at home with just you and the little man. It sounded like.
Yeah, just me and the little man. Yeah.
You guys sat and bonded over, cracked some beers and told some fart jokes and
yeah, something like that.
Did boy things, huh?
Did boy things. Yep. Watched some Sesame Street early in the morning when we woke up, and yeah, a little bit of Rocking Time, a little bit of all of that. So the fun stuff.
Well, hopefully you taught him the mighty importance of an afternoon nap.
he does not shy away from a nap, that's for sure.
There you go. That sounds like a good young man right there.
That is, yes, 100%.
Andrew, I'm going to give you a choice. Usually we start off this thing with, you know, some ACHA news, then we get into the rankings, then we go over the game reports, you know, what happened. How do you want to attack this edition of the WCHL Podcast? Do you want to do rankings? Do you want to talk about game results? Where do you want to start first?
You know what? We have quite a bit to talk to, so why don't we knock out the rankings this week, and that will kind of set up everything else for us.
There we go. Well, the rankings just came out earlier today, and ranking number 9, this is the last ranking of the 2024 calendar year. And we have 6 WCHL teams find themselves in the top 25. Minot State is not number 1, despite my as much as I may have predicted that they would be number 1. It's still Andrew's favorite team, the Ohio Bobcats.
Didn't play again this past weekend, and they stay put.
Yeah, they stayed put. They're number 1. Minot State's number 2. UNLV is a big mover. They moved up 3 spots to number 3.
Yep.
Liberty's number 4. Jamestown is number 5. So there's your top 5. Adrian is number 6.
Yeah, big loser on the weekend, huh?
Yeah, really.
Down 4.
And then in terms of WCHL teams, like we said, UNLV's there at number 3. Utah's at number 9. Grand Canyon comes in at number 13. Oklahoma is at 15. Arizona is at 16. Central Oklahoma, one of the biggest movers, makes an appearance in the ranking at number 21.
Yeah, their first appearance of the season, coming in at number 21.
Yeah, first appearance in the in the computer.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, not the spirited coaching rankings, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The actual rankings that count.
These are the rankings that take account into game results. And good for UCO. They moved up 5 spots into the 21 spot. Colorado, the computer says, is number 27. Arizona State is number 29. The computer says Missouri State is right behind ASU with a 30. Colorado State is number 41, and San Diego State is number 55.
Number 55.
So, you know, we're kind of sensing how things are kind of settling in, right? The top five, yep. Top six are, they're the same six that we've always had for the most part. You know, Liberty made a big move last week, and they forced themselves into the top five, top six discussion. But for the most part, it's Minot State, Jamestown, Nevada, Las Vegas, Adrian, and Ohio.
Yeah, seven, and what I just counted, seven of the top 25 didn't move in this ranking.
Yeah.
No, lots of up ones, down twos, up twos.
Yep.
In there. So, you know, it's kind of stabling out here a little bit, right?
Yeah, you would think. And obviously, Nevada, Las Vegas played Grand Canyon and swept Grand Canyon. We'll talk about that here in a little bit, but that helped propel them up into the number three spot. Liberty, who was the big mover last week, they ended up playing Drexel, and they thumped Drexel, but Drexel is like number 26.
Yep, and UNLV played a stronger competition, so you might as well jump them, right?
Yeah, so I mean, they both had the same results. Yeah, but in just like last week where Liberty jumped UNLV, this is a time when UNLV jumps Liberty. So, hey, good for the WCHL, but even better for UNLV. They're going to finish 2024 in the three spot.
No, nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah, and hey, that's not bad. All right, so here we go. Six teams in the top 25. And this was also – now, Andrew, I know you like to make fun of me. I'm going to give you two chances.
Oh boy.
Because in today's press release that we put out, there was a little copy and paste error that happened. I said that UNLV was the defending national champion. So I had to issue a correction to the coaches in acknowledging that, yes, we know that Adrian is the national champion, the defending national champion.
Even though we said UNLV is the defending champion, we do in fact know with our own league who the defending champion really is.
Yes. Oh my god.
Something
gosh.
Along those lines.
Well, it was, you know, apologies, confusion, sorry for the F up. And Adrian, I got a nice little note back from Adrian's coach who said no apologies necessary. They wished everybody a nice Christmas and holiday season. But I still had to fall on that sword because it was my goof up. I hit send on it. So,
much nicer person than I am.
Yeah.
I'd rather sit and make fun of you for a while.
here's the other thing. At the end of the ranking, I always put in there, you know, next week's ranking will come out on such and such, and I was just on autopilot.
Yeah.
And so I said the next ranking will come out December 18th. And then I got to think, and then I hit send. But then I got to thinking, hey, wait a second. We put out a schedule earlier this year that had when all the rankings were going to happen. And sure enough,
December 18th was not one of them.
December 18th, December 25th, and January, I don't know, January 1st and January 8th, I think, were the ones that we're not going to have a ranking. And so I had to come back on that one, too.
Like, hey, just to set, hold up there for a second.
Well, because I, you know, it was a, I knew that, I knew the UNLV as the defending national champion. I knew not a whole lot of people were going to catch that.
Right.
But I know that next Wednesday, had I not said anything, next Wednesday people are going to be going, hey, where's the ranking? Hey, where's the ranking? Hey, where's the ranking?
Right.
And you said last week that it's going to be out this week. So had to head them off at the pass and send. That was part of my two-part correction. So I had a two-part F up today in today's ranking release. It's corrected online. It was not corrected on the email that went out to everybody, but it's been corrected with a subsequent email. So, Andrew, have at it. It's your turn. Make fun of the dumb commish.
Well, at least we can get it straight.
Yeah, at least we can get it straight.
At least you got it straight.
Yeah, I try, you know. I figured it's bad news doesn't get better with time, so let's go ahead and get it over with.
Just get it over with, right?
Jeez.
Do it, straighten it out, and move on, right?
Yes, rip that Band-Aid off and let's go. So that's right. With these rankings that came out, we also decided, because Chris screwed up, let's take a look at nationals and what nationals would look like if these were the final rankings. And Andrew, how about 6 WCHL teams going to nationals?
Nothing wrong with that at all.
That's right. We would have, we had to clarify, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We have 9 conferences, but only 6 auto bids out there for the conferences. 2, no, I take that back. 9 conferences, 8 auto bids.
Yep.
The GL6, a brand new conference, does not have an auto bid this year. Now, the top.
This is their first year competition, right?
That's correct. It's their first year. And honestly, I don't know that they're going to need it. Adrian is up there. Calvin is up there. Purdue Northwest and a couple of other teams. I think Grand Valley and Davenport. In fact, 5 of the 6 teams in that conference are in the top 25. So
yeah, so they're probably not going to take up, wouldn't have taken up a spot anyway.
No, they're not going to eat up a spot due to the auto bid. So let's start at the top. Minot State is number 2. They would take, if we just use the highest ranked team for the auto bid, Minot State is in the MCH, my B conference. And yep, they would take that auto bid. UNLV is here in the big conference, and they would take the WCHL's auto bid. Indiana Tech is in the WAC. They're number 12. They're the highest ranked team there, so they would take that auto bid. Number 20, Pitt, is in the Eastern States League. They would take that auto bid. Now, we have 2 conferences that have only 5 members this season, and they had some stuff happen over the summer, and so they were granted an exemption. Usually, in order to have an auto bid, you have to have 6 teams in your conference.
Right. Yeah, but these 2 had a outside their circumstances, right?
Yeah, they had stuff happen to their conference that were out of their control. With regard to the NECHL, which is that New York League.
New York League.
notice how I said that. They had the University of Buffalo was suspended by the school.
Right.
So they only had 6, but with UB being suspended, they can only play with 5. And that was no fault of the rest of the guys.
Yeah, you can't fault the other 5 teams for that, right?
That's right. So Oswego State would have their auto bid. And the GLCHL, Eastern Michigan, decided like in August that they weren't going to have a team.
Right.
So they only have 5. And right now, Northwood is ranked 25. Northwood. I know, Northwood. What a funky name, huh?
Yeah,
that's kind of like a what do they call those things where you read the story and you kind of fill in the words as you go along.
Yeah, you know? Fill in the blank type thing. No,
but what do they call it? They call it like Mad Libs. That's what it was. Mad Libs. You would get the Mad Lib and you would say, pick a direction. You know, pick a mineral. You know, pick an animal. That's what they did here for Northwood. Pick a direction and pick a pick something you would build a table with. You know, granite, wood. You know, Northwood. Okay, that's my college.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah. So, anyways, Northwood would have the auto bid for the Great Lakes League. And then the 2 other leagues, the ECHA, which is out of Philadelphia, and CHMA, which is out of Pittsburgh, they would have their auto bids would kick into effect.
There you go.
So Villanova is now the highest ranked team in the Pittsburgh League. In the Philly League. John Carroll's the highest ranked team in the Pittsburgh League. So that means that 3 teams would get bumped, the GLCHL, the ECHA, and the CHMA auto bids would all bump, because remember, we only have 24.
Right.
Northwood is 25, so they would bump somebody. Villanova is number 31, they would bump somebody. John Carroll's number 34, they're going to bump somebody.
How about that?
Yeah, so the bumpies, the teams that get bumped, are Delaware, Grand Valley State, and Davenport. Those are the 22, 23, and 24 ranked teams right now. If nationals were to happen today, so sucks to be them.
That would be, since this is kind of the first little preview, kind of what if, it might be interesting if we circle back before Nationals and say, hey, this is in December of this season, this is what it looked like, and see what it actually plays out to be.
Well, I like that. I'm going to write that down. Circle back. Let's do it.
Yeah, this is what it should be, and what's the actual matchup? It'd be interesting to see.
Well, we'll do that. Well, I'm going to make a mental note. And
oh boy, we're in trouble.
Yeah, aren't we? Mental note. Put that in a small file.
What that tells me, we're not circling back.
Well, so what that means, if we were to play Nationals today, number one seed Ohio would play the winner of number 16 Arizona and number 17 Midland. So yeah, there we go. Arizona versus Midland. That's kind of a tasty little matchup right there.
That's a good little matchup. And then play in Ohio. That would be two good games in a row.
You go. Yeah, look at that. You're already looking to game number two.
Mm-hmm.
Minot State, the number two seed, would play the winner of number 15 Oklahoma and number 18 Purdue Northwest. Yeah, I think that would be a tough draw for Oklahoma.
That'd be a tough draw, for either team, really. But, yeah, I mean, that'd be a good first game. Probably two pretty evenly matched teams in Oklahoma and Purdue. But, yeah, then taking on Minot, that's a tough go right there.
There it is. UNLV, the number three seed, would take on the winner of number 14 Mary and number 19 Oswego State.
That would be interesting with UNLV and if it was Mary coming out of there. You know, you said before Mary – kind of a smaller, kind of faster jitterbug type team. So, So you might be able to, not going to say they're going to match man for man the speed of UNLV, but might give them a little bit of a run for their money there. You know,
Oswego State, I mean, they shocked everybody, myself most importantly.
Because they had a little run last year, right?
Yeah, they did. They had a hot goaltender, and they were one overtime away from knocking out Ohio, the number three seed.
And really, you know, talking a hot goaltender, that's really all you need at Nationals is, you know, get a hot goal scorer and a hot goalie, and you can make some noise quickly.
Yeah, you can. The number four seed, Liberty, would take on the winner of Grand Canyon and Pitt.
Yeah, see, I like that, Grand Canyon and Liberty. I like that matchup right there.
Yeah, exactly. I think that sets up nice for Grand Canyon, if that were to happen.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Jamestown, the number five seed, would take on the winner of Indiana Tech, the number 12 seed, and Central Oklahoma, number 21.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, nothing against those guys, but if Central Oklahoma makes it to Nationals this year, I don't really see them making much of a stink.
Yeah?
Just because they don't have the bodies, you know? Good gracious, they've gone half of the season with 13, right?
Hey, let's just say, we'll talk about it here in a second. I will officially go on the record saying they've surprised the hell out of me.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
In a very good way for them. And, when at the beginning of the season, when I heard that there was 13 skaters and two goaltenders, I'm like, oh, man, long season in Edmonton.
It's like, oh, boy. Here we go.
Yeah, and it started off that way, right? Started off kind of ugly.
Yep, but they figured it out.
Yeah, they have. So they might be able to sneak one off of Indiana Tech. I don't know they'd be able to get past Jamestown.
Yeah, that would be a tough one.
Yeah. Number six, Adrian, would take on the winner of Drury versus Northwood. Drury 11, Northwood 22. That one would turn out to be Adrian versus Drury.
Yeah, Adrian Drury, and then, yeah. I mean, really, I guess that would give us a real good taste of what Drury's got and what they're cooking up there.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, you know, we give them a hard time because of their coaches, Jeremy Law and Cliff Cook. So
those two deserve it.
Well, we know one of them listens. one of them turns the dial, the other one listens.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, poor guys. Guys, we love you. We're just giving you grief.
That's right.
Number seven, Niagara would take on the winner of Calvin versus Villanova. Andrew, this one scares me because Calvin would beat Villanova and then Calvin versus Niagara. That's right there is a possible, we're going to play Sunday night Calvin.
Calvin. Yeah. I mean, they could beat Niagara. I mean, Niagara is decent, but you know, that's a toss up right there.
Yep. And then to round it out, number eight, Maryville would take on the winner of Utah, the number nine seed, and John Carroll 24.
Yeah, and I love this, right? The John Carroll number 34 team. So, you know, Utah's getting past that one.
You would hope.
And then, yeah, you would hope. And then, yeah, I think, yeah, Utah-Maryville, that's a nice little matchup for the WCHL.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, in terms, just looking at this, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but these things go in reverse order in terms of the 4 seed plays early, the number 1 seed plays late in the day. And so the same for 8 and 5, right? So that means Utah John Carroll, if you're in that 8 bracket or Grand Canyon Pittsburgh, since they're in the 4 bracket, they get going early. That's in a 10:15, 10:30, whatever it is, the first game of the day start.
Yep.
So you're like, whoa, that could be, you know, they might be able to catch Liberty sleeping. They might be able to catch Maryville sleeping. So anyways, that's, it's kind of nice. I can't believe, I mean, I literally last week, I thought Central Oklahoma was like 29.
Yeah.
I thought they were 29 last week. So for them to jump all the way up to 21, it was a nice surprise. Yeah, so I, you know, for them to be able to make it tonight, that right there might be deserving of a trophy in and of itself.
100%.
Just for all the crap that they've gone through and for their manpower, 100%. Just to make it to Nationals, that's a win right there.
Yeah, no, 100%. I agree with that.
Wow. So, yeah, six teams going to Nationals.
Yeah, that's not bad. 6 teams all together.
We'll take it, despite the idiocy from the commission. And hey, that also means that Colorado, Arizona State, Missouri State, they're 27, 29, and 30. They're not too far out of the mix. There's always a possibility.
Yeah.
If they go on a heater.
There's one way to fix that, right?
Win. And Andrew, we had a lot of winning over the weekend. And a lot of winning. It was Sweep City this weekend. We didn't have one single split.
It's crazy, isn't it? I thought there'd be a couple splits in there. You know,
Yeah, you did.
Colorado series, I thought that would probably split, you know.
I thought you called Grand Canyon and UNLV a split. And I thought
I was going to say Grand Canyon.
Midland and Missouri State a split, and Oklahoma and UCO a split.
And they're all sweeps.
Can you believe it? Let's start non-conference. Midland at Missouri State. Midland goes into Spring Vegas and walks away with 2 wins. They beat Missouri State 3-2 on Friday night and then 6-4 on Saturday.
Yeah, Missouri State has taken some lumps up there at home this season so far.
You know, I'm just looking at the box scores, you know, Missouri State scores, they have 13 power play opportunities. They score 5 goals, 5 out of 13. That's a pretty damn good percentage.
That's pretty darn. Yeah.
You know, so when you're scoring along at that clip, I think that's pretty good. Makes you wonder about the back end of things in terms of the defense. And I'm not saying just the goaltending, but you know, their commitment to offense we know is there, you know, but can they play a 100 foot game,
I mean
a 200 foot game? Can they also lock down on defense? And apparently there hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened yet.
And the nice thing is Midland, you know, God bless them. I love them. They're in my B conference. Yeah. I love their coach. The coach is Jan Dom from the Czech Republic. Jan is the nicest guy in the entire world. But I'm looking at the box scores here. You know, Midland, back when Jason Cerrone, rest in peace, Jason, back when he was the coach, I would joke around that he just had a bunch of juvenile delinquents on the team, and they would come, you know, with baseball bats and barbed wire and chains, and, you know, they would come out there and just have an absolute fist fight for 60 minutes on the ice.
Yeah.
You weren't playing hockey. It was just a backyard brawl. Midland has, under Jan Dom, you know, They've cleaned it up a little bit, but here I'm looking a bench minor on the coach, a headbutting major, a major for boarding and an abusive official misconduct. I'm like, well, maybe what's that saying about you can take the country out of the boy, but you can't take the boy out of the, or no, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah. You can take the criminals out of Midland, but you can't take, well, how do I say that? You would take the Midland out of the criminals, but you can't take the,
criminal out of the Midland.
Midland. I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say there.
Yeah. We're following along here.
Anyways, Midland goes in and sweeps Missouri State. And what a shocker. What a shocker that was.
Yeah. There's been a lot of sweeps up there in Missouri State.
Midland's playing very well, but so isn't Missouri State. And that hurt them. They dropped out of the top 25 because of that weekend.
Yeah. They're what? Number 30 now.
Yeah. They were, I think they were 24 or 25. So
that kind of bounced around the top 25 there.
Yeah. Hey, and then we get into some WCHL conference series. The one that we guaranteed, we knew what was going to happen. Utah at San Diego State. Poor San Diego State.
Yeah, poor San Diego State. They're just taking their lumps. But hey, you know what? They'll be better. They'll get it together.
It's gonna be a rough first season for them. It's already a rough first season for them.
Yeah.
But
they'll get there.
They lost 8-0 and 5-2. The thing that stood out to me for this week, usually at the beginning of the season when I would see a San Diego State box score, the penalties obviously far exceeded all of the goals.
Especially towards the end of the game, right?
Yeah, towards the end, and especially on a Saturday night. In this instance, this weekend, the penalties were kind of kept to, I'm not going to say to a minimum, but reasonable to, 3-5 penalties per game. Now, they had one big one. They had a DQ, a face mask grab. I know. That's no fun. But you ever had your helmet just ripped off by somebody?
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
And but to their end, to their credit, at the end of games, they're taking their lumps for the most part. They're taking the L's and moving on with life. As opposed to going all Midland and having a freaking brawl. Jeez. So Utah does what they need to do. They get down to the beach and pace San Diego State 8-0 and 5-2.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, apparently they just shots were just insane. Here, let me look at this. I think shots were, 52 on game one. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Let's see what game two was. I thought it was insane. Equaling 63 in the second game. Yeah. So, I mean, they were just under siege.
Yeah.
And Utah's got a really good team.
Yeah, they do. And just going to get better.
Yeah, led by their captain, Michael Ertis, number 14. He's not only is he a good player on the ice, he's a very good chirper off the ice.
he is.
He led the charge at San Diego. So props to the Utes for getting in and getting out. No one got hurt.
Took care of business. Did what they should have done.
Andrew, here's this. So while that weekend, Utah at San Diego State, I think that qualifies as not a surprise. This next series, Oklahoma and UCO up at Arctic Edge Ice Arena, I think that qualifies as a surprise.
Oh, 100%.
UCO sweeps the Sooners 3-1 and 6-3. And Andrew, it wasn't even close.
Yeah, I mean, holy moly. We talked about it last week. First time the roles have been reversed where Oklahoma was the ranked team going into this thing and UCO was on the outside looking in. And, 13, like we've well documented, 13 guys on the UCO bench. And you'd think, you kind of had them right where they wanted them, right?
Yeah.
And just sweep. What else do you say? I mean, holy moly.
They used to three. On Friday night, they jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the second period. Oklahoma got close and scored a late in the or midway through the second, and then Central puts it away with a power play goal late in the second, and they just rode out the third period. It was kind of like football where when you got the lead and you decide to just start running the ball so that so the clock keeps running.
Just keeps running it.
And that's exactly what Central did. They just ran the clock in the third period. you know, contained possession, played it smart, did not allow Oklahoma any chances, and salted away a 3-1 victory on Friday. And then Saturday, right when you think, okay, UCO's MO is they got 13 guys, they're going to come out gangbusters on Friday, their legs are going to be jelly on Saturday, we got them now.
And here we go again, right?
UCO jumps out to a 3-0 lead in the first period, 5-1 after two. I mean, they put their foot on Oklahoma's throat, and they did not let up for the entire game.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's disappointing too, right? Because, you know, it's Oklahoma, the higher ranked team, and all of that. And, you know, how many times have they been beat by UCO in a row now?
I heard online, and I don't know if it's true because I haven't bothered to verify, but I heard that UCO has not lost to OU since 2019.
That's what I was thinking. It's been a good little while.
So that's what, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. That's 6 years now.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow.
And you walk in and, yeah, you got UCO right where you want them, right? 13 guys, they're down manpower. Now, they have the right 13 guys. Let's not shortchange those guys.
Yep.
They've got the right 13, but, you know, it's only 13. And, yeah, then they go in and they let UCO sweep them again.
And it wasn't for lack of shots. I mean, OU peppered Cam Pendleton, UCO's goaltender, with 40 shots, 39 shots on the first day and 49 shots the next day. So, I mean, they were getting their chances.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of shots from the outside, not a lot from, you know, in the house, between the circles, whatever you want to call it, down low.
A lot of quantity, not a lot of quality.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Exactly. So what a shocker. Props to Coach Philbin and his Broncos for pulling off a stunner. They're 8-8. They're even. When I heard that they were, like I said earlier, when it was 13 players, two skaters, I'm sitting there going, oh, no, I've just been privately, yes. I want them to make it to Thanksgiving. Then it was like, I want them to finish out the semester. Now it's, you know, or a couple of weeks ago, it was like, I want them to be able to go to that showcase in January. But now, I mean, they're number 21. Now they're in the national picture.
Yeah. They're in the mix. It's crazy, isn't it?
Hot diggity damn for those guys.
How about that?
Good for them. I hope that, let's hope they get some warm bodies, some players, somebody to give them some relief so that they can go make a run here in the spring when the spring semester starts up and, you know, see you and me at nationals and
absolutely
tell us to, you know, like we can stick it up our rear ends.
That's right. That's right.
Good for UCO. Good for UCO.
Yeah, 100%. Good for those guys.
And it's got to be maddening and frustrating for Oklahoma because, like you said, we finally
got them where you want them.
Finally got them where we're the higher ranked team. We've got the numbers. They don't. And we're playing with some confidence. And whoops.
Yeah. Yeah. The month of November wasn't good to the Sooners. So far, the month of December was not either, right?
I think Oklahoma's got a good little team, and they've got some good players, right? Good freshmen. They need to stay away from the computer.
Yep. Don't look into that. Just go do your thing, right?
Quit looking at the rankings. Just worry about games on the ice. Take care of business.
Take care of business and win hockey games. And that cures everything.
You pointed it out to me. That ever since the computer came out and OU rocketed up from, what were they, 18, 19, 20?
Yeah, they were in the 20s, yeah. And they jumped all over to number eight, right?
And it's been, but for 1 week, it's been a steady decline ever since then.
It has been. You know, they, right after that, you know, just right there, shortly after that came out, they swept Missouri State, right, up there. And then they went to Drury and got swept by Drury.
Yep.
And then they got blown out by CSU and ended up coming back Saturday and getting the split with CSU. And then they've gotten swept by UCO this past weekend, right?
Well, so, didn't they have Arizona? They had an Arizona team in there too.
They did. Yeah, they had an Arizona group in there and they got swept by Arizona too, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, So, you know, if I'm prescribing some medicine for the Sooners, it's stay away from the computer. Don't look at the rankings. Yep. Don't believe the rankings. Don't believe the hype. Just believe in yourself and get out there and take care of business.
Yeah, just go do your thing.
Wow. Shocker, shocker, shocker. But, Andrew, here's another shocker. Arizona State at Arizona. Here's Andrew. I have to fess up. I screwed up on this one too. Last week I said these were not WCHL games because of a quirk in the schedule. Yeah. Because we have six teams on that side and only five on this side. These were WCHL games.
So they count in the rankings.
They count in the WCHL standings.
It's WCHL standings. Yeah.
Arizona ends up winning both games. Yep. 5-4 in a shootout on Friday night, and then Saturday they just brought the wood.
Yeah.
Ugly.
This
7-0.
This 7-0, this fits the narrative of ASU that we've talked about so far this season, right? Just kind of Jekyll and Hyde.
They've got the talent. There's no doubt Arizona State has the talent there.
No doubt they have the talent.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. They just got a consistency, right?
Well, they were getting their butts handed to them on Friday night, you know, and then it was 4-1. And then all of a sudden they decided, hey, you know what? Let's play hockey. And they scored three goals in the last 3 minutes of the game on Friday to tie it up. had they added another minute to the game, Arizona State would have won it in that
probably
extra minute.
Won it, right?
Yeah. Insane. Instead, it goes to a shootout. And they lose that 2-1.
Mm-mm-mm.
The celebration by Justin Hughes was pretty good. He comes down and scores his goal, goes backhand, if I remember right, backhand high over the blocker side, over the ASU goaltender, and then immediately skates to center ice and just takes a bow. I thought that was pretty classy. Instead of you know, swinging by the other team's bench or rubbing the ice, doing the whole archer thing,
he
just went to center ice and took a bow.
There you go. There you go. Take your bow, kid.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then
that's awesome.
Geez, the next night, man, two goals in the first period, five in the second, and everybody wanted to get the heck out of there in the third period.
Yeah, that's 7-0. Like, sheesh.
Wow. And then had a terrible bad penalty with 2 seconds to go, and the referee smartly just said, "Hey, look, run that clock. Let's get the hell out of here."
Yeah, let's not even mess around with this, right?
No, I mean, nobody needs to get injured. It was bad enough, literally with 2 seconds left to go. I mean,
yeah, let's just get out of here and let's move on.
That's a rivalry game, a rivalry series. With the win on Saturday, I believe that Arizona has already secured the Cactus Cup for the season.
Already, huh?
Crazy that they have, but they have. And yeah, that's, there's a lot of there's a lot of rivalries out there that are pretty heated. I know in football here where we are, Oklahoma and Texas is pretty heated, but, it's not like violent, I'm going to slash your tires heated.
Yeah.
Colorado and Colorado State want to beat the ever-loving heck out of one another, but, afterwards they'll usually go out and drink beer, pop a gummy or smoke a joint or something afterwards, right? They're in Colorado. Arizona and Arizona State, maybe that's where Midland got it from. I think they go out in the back and just have an absolute chain link brawl. They hate one another.
Yeah, there's no love lost there for sure.
Insane. So yeah, this has to really hurt the Sun Devils' pride.
Yeah,
7-0.
That's ugly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially after
this early,
such a nice comeback too on Friday night, and lose it in a shootout. Ugh.
Yeah, and you lose you've already lost the Cactus Cup this year. I mean, that's an ugly one right there.
Arizona State was waiting for the semester to end. They had a rough before the Thanksgiving break. They had a rough trip to Chicago, and then they have a rough trip to Tucson.
Didn't get any better, did it?
Yeah, they're still waiting for the break to get over, because I don't know if it's going to get any better this week.
Come on. Yeah, like, come on, let's do this.
The Rocky Mountain Showdown happened in Boulder and Fort Collins, and usually the way that that turns out, Colorado usually wins in Fort Collins, and Colorado State wins in Boulder. This time, it was Colorado winning both times.
Yeah. Close one on Friday night, 3-2 overtime.
Overtime. How about this? Colorado, the kid from Colorado, I forget who it was. Here, let me look. It was number 26. Oh, I can't even say that guy's name. Rap Marcinkiewicz-ness? Rap is what I hear his name. Number 26, Marcinkiewicz. Scores literally 10 seconds in overtime, like on an odd angle shot off the boards. It was like the CSU goaltender wasn't even, he was still getting warmed up. He was still getting in position for overtime.
Wasn't ready.
10 seconds in and boom, it's over with.
Nice.
Crazy. And then the next night they went up and just took care of business, just pounded Colorado State. Them. Yeah.
7-3. How about that?
And they gave CSU, had a little bit of life in the second period, scored a couple of goals and got close. And then CU said, no. Thank you for playing. We're
moving on here.
Yeah, we're gonna continue on. And they just poured in a couple more goals in the third and said, yeah, it's time to go home. We're gonna bag this sweep and go home.
Yeah, we're out of here.
The nice thing is, with this game, at least on the first one down to Boulder, nothing much happened. But boy, the second game, that's when the penalties came out. Yeah.
Kind of par for the course, right?
Oh, well, you know, unfortunately for Colorado, they seem to be getting a lot of these DQs. At the second game at Midland, they had four DQs were assessed. And at the second game with Colorado State, they got three DQs assessed.
Ooh,
I know.
That's a lot.
A fight, a face mask, and a head contact. It's like, dang. I mean, so they're getting falling into a rut, as a little reputation, if you will. So watch out for CU late on the second game.
Yeah, that's no bueno, is it?
No, especially when you've got to tell the coach that, hey, these kids can't play. They got DQ'd, and they're multiple DQs. Sorry.
Yeah, yep.
And then, hey, the big hammer heavyweight bout, if you will, happened out in the desert. Grand Canyon went up to UNLV, to City National Arena, and you're thinking, okay, UNLV was, what were they, 5 or 6 in the rankings? Grand Canyon was, what was Grand Canyon? Yeah, Grand Canyon was, what, 13 or something?
Grand Canyon was 13 last week, and then, UNLV was number 6 last week.
Grand Canyon's got their sights set on big things, and they've got the players now and some coaching to get them up there. And so they had high hopes, and UNLV just crushed them.
Yeah.
Now, they were games.
Tight games, not a blowout, not a 7-0 or a 7-3 by any stretch.
They weren't blowouts, but they also weren't very, they gave Grand Canyon a little bit of hope, but not much.
Yeah, they opened the window a little bit, but not enough to get through, right?
Grand Canyon scores first on Friday night. UNLV comes back and gets 3 in the second period to just, pop the enthusiasm balloon of the Antelopes. Yeah. Grand Canyon gets close in the third period with power play goal, but they can't crack that UNLV nut to tie the game on Friday night. And UNLV walks off with a 3-2 Friday night victory. And then on Saturday, they just clamped down. It was the defense is there for UNLV now, and it was a 2-0 win for they just went about their business very workmanlike.
Yeah, and you had mentioned, their D had kind of picked up. Last week you'd mentioned it, that they'd gotten the defense kind of figured out. So, clamping it down on Saturday doesn't surprise me, right?
Yeah. I mean, a good showing for both teams, but a better showing, obviously, for UNLV, because they came out with two dubs over a highly ranked team.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. So there we go. Sweep City, Midland, Utah, Central Oklahoma, Arizona, Colorado, and UNLV. Sweep City. Andrew.
Sweep, sweep, sweep.
Yeah, like you said, I think you went 2-4 in your predictions last week. So.
I was thinking there was going to be some closer games than that. Closer series, I might say, right?
Yeah, what a surprise.
Yeah, surprise.
Yeah, it's all right. That's why they play the games. All right, Andrew. Hey, let's, you want to, what do you want? You know, let's hear some Jules Winfield. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Well, he was more than just a coach. He was really a teacher.
Work that pump. That's the way I like it. What the hell? You gonna let him stand in here like a... Hold it. Just because you look like the Gimp don't mean you play like the Gimp. Don't let him stand in here and punk you like you patting him on the legs. Give him the gourmet shot. Be a bad motherfucker. Here you go. Let's go. One, drop your glove. Two, catch jersey. Three, over the head. And where I'm from, we call this the Inglewood Jack.
What I say? Inglewood
Jack. That's the way.
Inglewood Jack.
Yeah. Inglewood Jack.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
Man, Andrew, I'm on my button game tonight. Look at that.
Oh, boy. Firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, we need to find over the holidays. I'm going to get some new clips. I will make a promise to you. I'll file it away here in my mental storage. We'll get some new clips.
We're not circling back, and we're not getting new buttons.
So, Andrew, after all those sweeps, the WCHL standings look like this. Utah is still in first place. They have 29 points, but they've played two more games in UNLV. UNLV is in second place with 27 points. Oklahoma, despite getting swept, remains in third place there, and they have 23 points. UCO, though, courtesy of the sweep, moves all the way up to fourth place. They have 20 points.
Here they are.
Grand Canyon is in fifth with 19. Missouri State is in sixth place with 18 points. Arizona is in seventh place with 17 points. Colorado is in eighth place. Arizona State in ninth. Colorado State in 10th. And San Diego State is at the bottom in 11th. So there we go. And, hey, got to give me credit. I got there were no ties, so I did 1 through 11 right there.
No ties. 1 through 11. There you go.
I didn't F it up.
Took one shoe off and got to 11, right?
I had to ask my wife for some help. Hey, baby, take your shoe off there, would you?
There you go.
All right, Andrew, we've got some games coming up this weekend. Even though most schools are not playing, there are still some stragglers. This is going to be the last weekend of the season for the fall semester. So, you know, kids are hopefully taking some finals this
you
week.
Hope.
Yeah, we hope. Not listening to stupid podcasts.
Right.
UCO, traveling with a light roster, is going to go up to Midland to Fremont, Nebraska, 6 hours away. What do you think is going to happen there? UCO at Midland. Two teams coming off of sweeps.
Two sweeps. I'm going to say, why bet against UCO right now? They're hot, so let's go a UCO sweep.
Ooh, look at you. Look at you. I'll tell you, I think they might be hurting this week, but just from a manpower, I think they've got some... I think we'll find that they have some manpower issues, whether it's due to graduation or finals or whatnot. I don't know they're going to be having their full contingent of players going up to UCO. Oof. I mean, going up to Midland. So that might turn out to be, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
We'll put an asterisk on that one, right?
But you're saying right now you're not betting against the Broncos. They've turned you into a believer.
That's right.
Minot State, the number two team in the nation, is traveling down to the desert. They're going to play a Thursday night game against Arizona before taking on Grand Canyon on Friday and Saturday night. Andrew, what do you think is going to happen in Tucson?
You know what? As much as I want to pull for U of A, I think this is going to be Minot on this one.
All right. And then Friday, Saturday at the sexy Arizona Ice Arcadia, Grand Canyon and Minot State. No one will be able to watch it because it's on Black Dog. So what do you think is going to happen? Minot State at Grand Canyon.
For a Friday, Saturday affair, I'm going to say a split.
Whoa, a split. I like it. All right. There you go. Grand Canyon will like it too.
That's right. They should.
And then Arizona State continues their couple of weeks of misery. They go on the road there at UNLV. Now, remember, Andrew, earlier in the season, UNLV came down to Arizona State, and Arizona State got the very first game of the conference season off
they
of
did.
UNLV. They surprised the heck out of UNLV. I'm sure the Rebels have not forgotten.
They've not forgotten about that. The I think this is going to be a sweep by UNLV.
Yeah, it could get ugly.
Could get ugly. Thanks.
All right, so officially, Andrew is calling UCO a sweep, but he's putting an asterisk by there, hedging his bets. It says Minot State's going to take the Thursday night game in Tucson against Arizona and will split up in Phoenix when they take on Grand Canyon, and that UNLV will sweep the Sun Devils in Sin City.
Take it to the bank.
All right, Andrew, what do you think? This is usually the part of the podcast where you usually talk about nonsense and other stuff. Do you have any nonsense and other stuff to report? Any criminal happenings or other things happening there in Redneck Estates?
Nothing. You know, it's been pretty quiet. They got past the birthday stuff. It's been pretty quiet, just all work, no play around here.
SWAT didn't come and knock on your neighbor's door, or there were no amorphous drug deals going on at the town circle there at middle of Redneck Estates.
No, everything is quiet. Everybody's going about their way right now.
Oh, listen to you, the holiday spirit. I thought you were going to just knock out the night before Christmas. Everything was quiet as a church mouse. I saw what you're going to do there.
There you go.
Andrew, last week we talked about Christmas songs, and you gave me some of yours, and I gave you some of mine. It elicited a response from some folks.
Oh, boy.
I know. And I'm just going to say we got taken to task in particular because this is supposedly a hockey podcast. We got taken to task for not doing the Bob and Doug McKenzie, the 12 Beers of Christmas, or whatever it is. So, anyways, proving once again that neither you or I is a hockey person.
I could probably guess it where that suggestion came from.
Came from the middle of Ohio from a gentleman that does not have a hat, but he does have a cape.
Oh boy!
Yeah,
there you go.
I know. So he sent me a bunch more videos and Christmas song suggestions. So
that's great.
Yeah, he's definitely in the Christmas spirit. So. Andrew, the thing that surprised the heck out of me as we're sitting here taping this podcast on December 11th is that in less than a month, our ACHA representatives on the U.S. Men's National University team are going to be over in Torino, Italy.
Torino, Italy.
Otherwise known as Turin. But they'll be they'll be playing in the Winter World University Games.
That'll be fun for those guys.
It'll be fun for those. Yeah. I mean, they have to report. I didn't even realize this. They have to report to Albany, New York, January 6th. That's where that's their jumping off point.
Yeah.
And you might ask yourself, why Albany?
Yeah. Why Albany?
Well, I'll tell you why. The ACHA president happens to run the rink in Albany.
There you go.
And I think he knows how to schedule things. And so he's found some free ice, amazingly enough.
Oh, boy. Shocker, right?
Yeah. So they're going to get together for a couple of practices before they go from Albany down to New York City and hop on some planes. Don't want to give away the whole itinerary, but they're going to eventually find themselves over in Italy. And, they start playing on Sunday, January the 2nd. They take on the team from Poland. And then they'll play group stage games against Japan, Slovakia, and Ukraine after that.
Ukraine.
So, there you go. And, Andrew, I'm here to report to you that the Winter World University Games, unlike this crappy podcast, they've done a pretty good job of preparing for the upcoming event. They've been testing, they've been practicing, they've been holding like test events on their rinks to make sure that they go off well. They've put out a press release or 20 that another successful test event has happened on the Tozzoli ice rink.
And then they
had another test on the rink at the Palacio, I can't even say it. Palacio Tozzoli. So they're doing great. There's another short track event on another ice rink where they're going to be playing, doing speed skating and hockey.
Ooh,
I know, that'll be interesting. So yeah, they're getting their act together. Turin, the torch, apparently, the torch for the 2025 Winter World University Games is making its way around Italy as we speak. Yesterday, it arrived in Pinerolo, P-I-N-E-R-O-L-O.
Well, how about that? Fancy schmancy.
Yeah, so anyways, it's been, geez, here, over the weekend, it reached Palenzo.
Well, there you go.
They have piers. Oh, and before that, it was in Cuneo. And so it's going to all these little places as it winds its way around Italy to Torino. And, yeah, it should be kind of fun.
That's great.
It'll give us something to, something to watch, something to pay attention to before most ACHA teams get up and running for the spring semester.
Yep.
So, and then the women are also, the women are going over there 2 days later, and they come back 2 days earlier than the boys. They have a different, I forget what their pool, but what their pool looks like, but they're in a different, they have a smaller, I'm going to say this wrong, but they have the American boys, the men's team plays in a pool of five, and there are two pools of five. I believe the women, here, I'm going to scroll, they're in a group with three other teams, so they're in a pool of four, and they're playing in the group with the Czech Republic, Japan, and Kazakhstan. The other group is Canada, Great Britain, Slovakia, and Taipei.
Chinese Taipei. There you go.
Otherwise known as Taiwan.
Yeah.
So, anyways, they might be up against it with the Czechs and the Kazakhs, but
It could be a little rust sledding over there.
I don't know how good women's hockey is over there. I know women's hockey in Great Britain and Chinese Taipei sucks, but at least they're not playing the Canadians or the Slovaks.
Yeah, and dodged a bullet there, right?
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. Good. That'll be something for us to be able to pay attention to in January.
There you go. Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah. Here's the not so fun part. That's also going to happen on MLK weekend, and where the ACHA is going to be holding an event at the Maryville University. It's the ACHA Men's Division I Showcase. So that Friday game that the men are going to be playing against Ukraine at 1 in the afternoon on Friday, January 17th, I will also be knee-deep in the middle of two games going on at the Maryville University Showcase.
Ooh.
I know. So
fun, right?
Fun, if you say so.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Andrew, it's Christmas time. Have you started Christmas shopping?
I a little bit. My wife has done way more than I have.
Yeah, okay. So, all right.
Which is about par for the course. She likes to shop way more than I do. she's a little more organized than I am.
Oh, well, that goes without saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're getting there. We got a couple more days to go.
Andrew, I have another confession to make.
Oh, boy.
I've done some Christmas shopping. Mr. Amazon has made many, many, many deliveries already.
There you go.
But part of my Christmas shopping, I did find some Nerds Candy Clusters, the Christmas edition. I know. Don't tell anybody.
The red, white, and green ones.
Don't tell anybody, but they might be appearing under somebody's in someone's stocking. I know. So I found a Nerds Cluster Christmas rope and a couple of bags of the clusters. So Santa and his elves. Yeah, I thought you'd be happy with that.
Yeah, good stuff right there.
What are you asking Santa to bring you for Christmas, Andrew?
Yeah, you know what? I don't need much this year.
Oh, baloney. So come on.
Maybe some socks and some more tidy whities. How about that?
You are such a boy. Such a dumb boy. Socks and underwear. If your job required it at the Quinceañera scheduling pavilion, you'd probably ask for a tie or two, huh?
Exactly.
No electronics, exactly. No books, no, you don't need like a deer blind to hunt your neighbors or something like that?
No. My problem is if, you know, and I run into it every year, my problem is throughout the year, if I need something or want something, I just go get it then and there, right?
Yeah, self-sufficient is what I'm hearing. You don't save for the holidays.
Yeah, so it kind of takes that whole Christmas thing that, yeah, looking forward to Christmas Day because you've been wanting something for 9 months or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it kind of takes away from that a little bit, but, you know, when you need it, you need it. When you want it, right?
I guess so. Well, I guess... There you go, the Christmas shopping spirit with Andrew Magic Earth. When you need it, you need it. When you want it, you want it.
That's right.
All right, Andrew, go ahead and ask me what I want for Christmas.
Oh, boy. I'm afraid to.
Go ahead. Give me a try.
What's on the list at the Perry household?
Socks and underwear.
Yeah, see, there you go.
Just socks and underwear. That's all I'm asking for.
That's all you need. Yeah. Give me some fresh socks and some fresh tidy whities. We're ready to go.
No, you know, I get that stuff throughout the year. It's, you know, when I need it, I need it. And when I want it, I want it. So I just go get socks and underwear.
It's a good philosophy right there, right?
I think Santa's probably going to bring me a couple of books to read. And, hopefully he's going to bring the rest of the family all the other goodies that they want. So,
well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's always, at least at our place, it's more about making sure the kids get what they need. So,
yeah, that's a big thing. Yeah, get the kids what they want and they have fun with it and make memories. And yeah, that I'm kind of philosophy. Been there, done that. You know, let the little ones have fun at this point.
Unfortunately, my little ones are 28 and 25. Which means that their budgets have grown proportionately as they have.
Yeah.
So they're no longer asking for socks and underwear and toys. You know, it's electronics and, you know, it's you know, big stuff. You know, fondue pots.
Good for them. They should stick it to you.
Oh, they're trust me. Trust me. Trust me. When you do your Christmas shopping, Andrew, or when you tell your wife to do the Christmas shopping, do you provide lists or do you guys just does your wife sit down and make a list of what she wants so you go and pick and choose from that list, or do you just go out and try to find something for her?
We usually do list. It's like pulling teeth to get a list out of her. But yeah, we usually do list and stuff we would like and all that, and then go down the line and get it from there.
All right. Yeah, that's how we do it too. And it's they make life easier, because otherwise I'd end up, you know, getting them a you know, an 8,000 piece jigsaw puzzle when all they really want is, you know, a ring light so they can do selfies for Instagram or something. No?
I hear you on that.
Yeah. So that way they get what close to what they want, as opposed to, you know, what I would like to get them. What I would like to get them is not necessarily what would work for kids these days. So I'd get my son a bunch of, you know, white button down shirts, short sleeve with a little you know, pocket protector for his pens.
And he's like, Dad, come on.
He's like, Dad, it's 2024, leave me alone, you know. that fashion sense might have worked when you started working, you know, 40 years ago.
But not now. Not now.
I'm not a nerd. Leave me alone, Dad.
Yeah, get out of here. Yeah.
All right. Well, Andrew, we'll have one more podcast recapping games. We won't have any rankings to go over, thankfully.
Yeah, so you won't have to listen to us mumble along for too awfully long, right?
Yeah, I think we'll try to get... we'll try to get some coaches and some players on during the holiday break. We might especially try to get a particular coach from the WCHL that's going overseas with those Winter World University game guys.
Kind of get a prediction from him. There you go.
Yeah, see how that process is going. I'm sure he's stressing out Deluxe, you know, because of you know, going over. I know that he always wants to do well no matter what with his team. But especially now that he'll be on the big stage representing the ACHA, I'm sure he'll
really do well.
So, all right, Andrew. Well, anything else that we need to touch on?
I think, you know what? I think we have bored these people to death for long enough tonight. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we have too. You know what I would say? The only thing I'll say two more things and then I'm going to get out of here. Okay. I learned today that there are such a thing as a Christmas chocolate orange. I had no clue that such a thing existed. And it's exactly as it sounds. It's an orange coated in chocolate that's then repackaged into like a foil ball to look like an orange.
I'll be damned.
Had no clue such a thing worked. When I was growing up, we always got an orange in our stocking, but it was because it needed to fill out the toe, right, of the stocking. And it was nice and round and it worked. But
there you go.
Here I am walking around the store and there's a chocolate covered orange. Christmas chocolate covered orange. So I had to buy one.
Kind of sounds good.
I bought three. I bought five. I bought three milk chocolate and two dark chocolate. And the other thing is, Andrew, it's getting a little chilly around here. I was in the mood for some hot chocolate the other day. Hot chocolate is a rare thing to find at restaurants or drive-through places these days.
Yeah, not a hot commodity, right? You got to have some pumpkin spice and all that other mumbo jumbo.
You got to go to a coffee joint.
Yep.
And this particular time that I was out and about, it was pretty late. I had just been released from jail. So, when they let me out around 2 in the morning, there was no, I was craving some hot cocoa and there was none to have.
Well, I'll be.
Yeah. So that's a whole nother story though, about being out and about at 2 in the morning. So
you can fill us in with what you're doing later, right?
Yeah, maybe. Santa was definitely not needing any help that day. So, and he was not getting any help from me. So,
Oh boy.
All right, Andrew, I'm going to get out of here. But first I want to say thanks to everybody for listening to this crappy podcast. Thanks for putting up with me. Thanks to Andrew for putting up with me. Thank you, the listener, for supporting the WCHL and the ACHA. Follow the ACHA at ACHA Men's D1 on Twitter. I think it also has a Blue Sky account. I know it does because I made it. Follow Andrew on Twitter at Stickford AM. Follow the Western CHL on Twitter and or Blue Sky at Western CHL. And I'm on Blue Sky as CJP and OKLA. Otherwise, Andrew, I think that's it. I just want to say thanks. Merry Christmas to folks, and we'll talk to them next week. Andrew, I'm going to hit a button, get out of here. Are you ready?
Let's do it. Everybody, have a great holiday season. Enjoy watching a few hockey games this weekend. And other than that, we will catch you on the flip side.